Hi, this is Clark Gregg from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Greetings to all my fellow comic book, superhero, and pop culture fans out there. All of you loyal listeners, welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber. And I'm about to take the show on the road once again. Man, it seems like I just got back from Terrificon in Connecticut. Oh man, that was a whirlwind trip. Headed to yet another awesomely cool show. This time, just a little bit closer to home. As many of you know, for the past few years, I've been taking Comic Book Central a bit south of the lair to the Cincinnati Comic Expo. Like I said, a little bit closer to home here in Ohio. I record interviews with the guests, I moderate some Q&As, and I bring all of that to you right here on the show. Today, I'm going to be bringing you a preview of the event that's taking place this weekend, September 14th through the 16th. I'm going to be chatting with the administrator of the Cincinnati Comic Expo, Matt Bredesteggy. He is going to give you the lowdown on all the comic book creators, the celebrities scheduled to attend, all the very cool events that are going to be going on this weekend in the Queen City. Then, after that interview, you will hear my exclusive in-depth interview with a featured guest at this year's Cincinnati Comic Expo. From Marvel's Iron Man 1 and 2, from Thor, from the Avengers, and of course, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the one and only Clark Gregg. He is going to be along to talk about his role in all those projects as the agent and director of S.H.I.E.L.D., Phil Coulson. Now, Clark is also set to appear as Coulson in next year's Captain Marvel feature film. That film takes place in the 90s, so he's kind of going back in time for that one. And he's going to be putting the cast of S.H.I.E.L.D. through their paces when he returns to direct the season 6 premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So lots to talk about with Clark Gregg today. You're going to hear from him very soon. But if you want to meet him in person, here is how you do it. CincinnatiComicExpo.com. That is where you can get tickets to the event. Now, Clark's going to be there Saturday only, so you don't want to miss out. The event is 3 days, but he's going to be there Saturday only, so that's your opportunity to catch him. Maybe you'll hear something from him on today's show in the interview you can ask him about when you meet him at the expo, so maybe get a little bit more information from him. Tell him you heard him right here on Comic Book Central. All right, now before we get to asking Clark about those S.H.I.E.L.D. Level 10 secrets, take a listen to this, and then I'll be right back to give you that behind-the-scenes preview of this year's Cincinnati Comic Expo. All right, once again, I am preparing to take Comic Book Central on the road to the Queen City, Cincinnati, Ohio, for the Cincinnati Comic Expo. Comic book creators, cosplayers, and crazy cool guests from the world of TV and movie superheroes, they're all going to be there. Joining me, as he has done for the past several years, is the administrator of the Cincinnati Comic Expo, Matt Bredesteggy. Matt, welcome back to Comic Book Central.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
Thank you for being here. Always a joy to have you here. I appreciate this little preview. I know it's so hard to catch up with you guys at the event, so to find out some things, but nice to get like a little preview. Congratulations again on this guest list. It is so much fun watching the social media pages throughout the course of the year and seeing the guest announcements as they pop up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we always have fun booking them and hoping to see what the fans are going to say about them.
Always, yeah. Always an event, always an adventure, I would imagine, as you're putting these things together. But I think I say this every year. I think I always say you outdid yourself, and every year it's true. I think you did it again. I mean, can this place even fit all these people, all these comic book creators and all these celebrities going to be coming in?
We're going to find out.
We are going to find out. There's a lot going on. As always, hey, let's start with the comic book creators. First of all, let's tell folks the date. September 14th through the 16th. Yep. This is right around the corner here. So a lot of good stuff coming at you in this preview. But for folks that just want to know where they can go and kind of look at this as we're talking, CincinnatiComicExpo.com. That's the website, right?
Correct.
All right, so they want to go there. Let's look, it's comic book convention. We love comic books. We wouldn't be anywhere without the comic book creators. So let's talk a little bit about some of the amazing comic book creators you have coming this year.
Well, I mean, first of all, one of making is one, making a rare appearance to the United States, at least, is John Bolton, who we have this year.
Nice.
So David Ray was quick at work, and we were able to get a rare visit from John Bolton to come across the pond for us this year.
Very nice. Let's get the rundown on a lot of these comic book creators. Go ahead and give us and do we – I know we're in the Superman – look, I'm celebrating Superman's 80th all year long. Do we got some Superman-themed guests as well?
Well, we have Neil Adams coming back again. This is Neil's third or fourth appearance with us since our inception. And Neil's family loves Cincinnati. So they came out to approached us and said, hey, we really enjoy coming to your show. We get a really good vibe from your fans, and we really want to come back out. So we said, okay, yeah, sure, we'll bring out Neil Adams. And, of course, bringing out Neil, we also bring out Joel and Buzz. So they're always great to have in there. Also with just going with the Superman theme, got local artist Craig Boldman as well, writer for Adventures of Superman and Archie and Jughead and that kind of stuff.
Making a return appearance too, right?
Yeah. Well, with Craig living in the area, we're pretty much his hometown show. So Craig is we're always welcome to have Craig come in. Also making a visit with us with the going with the Adventures of Superman, we got Thomas Grummet with us this year. So this will be Thomas's first visit to the Queen City for us. So we're excited to have him join us.
Excellent, a lot going on too. And then let's say I'm looking. We got some Secret Wars. We can expect maybe get some Secret War stuff signed.
Yeah, with John Beatty and Mike Zack. We're definitely excited to have them come back out. They came out a couple of years ago and they had a good time, so we wanted to bring them out. And we also were complimenting that with J.M. DeMatteis as well for some Justice League and Captain America fans as well. Jose Delbo is coming back to join us this year too. Jose joined us back in our second show all the way back in 2011. And so now he gets to come and see how we've grown and expanded, and we were really bringing a focus on that kind of stuff. So we're excited to have him back to join us too.
Let's talk about the TV and film guests as well. First of all, somebody who wasn't able to make it last year, I know, is now going to be appearing at the Cincinnati Comic Expo this year.
You have me knocking on wood about that, because until their plane lands in Cincinnati.
I know, it's like recording an episode of Comic Book Central. Until I record it, it doesn't exist.
But yeah, we have Carrie Elway's
scheduled
to join us this year. Carrie was going to join us last year, and about 3 days before show, Carrie unfortunately got cast into a role, and he wasn't able to attend.
That's a good thing, though. It's always good because that means they're making some cool stuff for us to watch, and now more stuff for us to talk about this year, right?
Right, exactly. So, yeah, we're excited to have Carrie, and especially with the news of Carrie being cast as the mayor in the new upcoming season of Stranger Things. So that really gets to tie in the classic crowd that's looking for Carrie from The Princess Bride and that kind of stuff, and then for the newer crowd that's into Stranger Things.
Yeah, and let's not bury the headline here. I'm going to get right to it. You've got the heart and soul of the Marvel movie and TV universe coming. Clark Gregg is going to be appearing. Agent Coulson from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. We're very excited that we had the opportunity. Somebody presented Clark to us. We were able to make things work and figure things out. And we're excited to have Clark join us for the day. He will be with us only on Saturday, so Saturday only. But we'll get a rare visit from him while he's in between filming whatever he's filming from between Captain Marvel and whatever's going on for the
He's got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, he's going to be directing the season premiere. We know that, so we know he's going to be behind the camera. He's done that. He did that once last year. But man, it's good. There's so many questions. We got one day, so this is a good opportunity for people to get their questions answered. Hopefully, they will have had some of their questions answered in this very show, but we'll see. But yeah, there's so many. Like, is he dead in the Marvel movie universe? Is he? What's his status in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Are those two universes connected? I think we've always been trying to figure that out. I don't know if anybody's ever given a definitive answer to that, have they?
Not really, because there was the way ABC was treating the show, and was last season going to be the final season, and all that kind of stuff. There were a few cliffhangers in there.
And nobody in the Marvel movie universe knows he exists or doesn't reference him. So it's like, what's going on here? I mean, who knows?
That's where it's it'll be interesting to see what happens or what pans out. And then of course, I mean, there's always the thing when we have guests and things that haven't aired yet is what are they contractually not allowed to say?
Well, we know he can talk about directing because he's already been in the director's chair and directing the cast. So when we know we can get some of those questions answered. And man, there's so many guests like I mentioned here. Let's run them down. We've got Star Trek. We've got voiceover actors. We've got Arrow. We've got a little bit of everything. We've got Firefly. We got Star Wars. Give us some of the big names coming.
Well, from Star Wars, we got Peter Mayhew's coming back again.
Chewie.
Peter joined us a couple of years ago, and Peter's family, again, had such a great time. They wanted to come back, so they reached out to us. And then we have Paul Blake, Greedo, who's going to join us for the weekend as well. Our other guest that we're also excited about is Nikolai Coster-Waldau from Game of Thrones.
I think I've heard of that.
So fans will recognize him as Jaime Lannister. But, you know, every year we have our show always fell during Game of Thrones filming. So it was the only Game of Thrones people we could get is if their character was dead.
Which was always a good shot, right?
I mean, there's no shortage of that.
Exactly.
But yeah, we had an opportunity with their revamped filming schedule this year and production schedule to bring him in. And so this is also going to be a rare U.S. appearance for him as well. He hasn't been in the United States for 5 years to do a signing convention.
Oh, wow. Okay, and, so this is a golden opportunity here.
Yeah, so this is a fantastic opportunity to find out with him. And, for fans to try to find out and see if, maybe they can loosen him up for any spoilers for the season 8 as well.
You never know what happens, you know. You get into these places, they get into the spirit of things, you know, and then all of a sudden they start talking. So you never know what you're going to get at Cincinnati Comic Expo. You mentioned Star Wars. How about our other huge sci-fi franchise? Let's not forget Star Trek.
Right, yeah. So we had to go with because there's so many with the variations of the Star Trek. We had to go with a little new generation where we were bringing in LeVar Burton. But then people also recognize LeVar from Reading Rainbow and Captain Planet and other such projects.
Man, and you talk about sci-fi franchises. I mean, Summer Glau is going to be there. Friend of Comic Book Central, Summer Glau is going to be there. So you get Serenity and Firefly, but also Arrow. She was on Arrow, and you get the Terminator TV series. And then also talking about Arrow, man, Katrina Law, another friend of Comic Book Central. So I'm going to have to repost some of these interviews if I haven't already as we lead up, because there's a lot of famous sci-fi guests coming.
Right, and Katrina was another one of those guests, too. Katrina attended our show 3 years ago, and she had such a good time with our fans. She reached out to our agent, and they reached out to us saying, hey, Katrina wants to come back. So that was one of those where our fans and our show have made an impression upon these people where we really didn't have to pursue them. They came to us saying, hey, we want to come to your city again. So we really took that as a compliment when people like Katrina reach out to us for that.
And she's amazing because she's one of those guests that brings the party with them. I mean, I saw her in Connecticut and she was dancing. She had a dance off with a Hulkbuster up there and it was just amazing. She just totally gets into the spirit of these events. Who knows what in the world she's going to do at Cincinnati Comic Expo, but she is always, always an amazingly fun guest. So, so good to see her there as well. So many others, man, they're just like, go to the website and check it out. What we do want to mention too is for people going to be there, all those cosplayers, they seem to get more and more cosplayers every year. We've got a huge costume contest as well, right?
Right, yeah. Well, our costume contest has cash prizes of over $2,500. So, so for big money, that's why people look to we want to put on a very serious contest where we have, you know, some specific rules and our judges go in there. And so with that, you know, people want a chance at some big money. So, we look forward to seeing the cosplay talent of what people can do on their stitchery and construction.
And with that prize money too, you can put it toward next year's costume too. So it just you could reinvest it in even more amazing costumes for them, or you could buy a lot of comic books while you're there. You know, Buy some merch from the vendors that are going to be at the Cincinnati Comic Expo, because there's going to be a ton of them. And also, a certain age gets in free?
7 and under do get in free for the event. So and that's
with a paid ticket, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, of course, with an adult. We
you don't want to, like, random kids showing up.
Yeah,
walking.
Yeah. Please come with an adult. So yeah, we look forward to, you know, trying to, you know, build a show for people of all ages, and you know, by also getting the kids in there, you know, they can see a lot of the comics, a lot of the comic talent, to see the origination of where a lot of these superheroes have come from for their favorite movies and TV shows.
And also, is there a do they do something on Saturday night? There's usually like a featured event on Saturday.
Yeah, so we have our annual Geek Prom this year, and so that is Saturday after the show. That is a separate ticket event, and it's a dance, but there's also activities. So we're continuing our success of last year's theme, and this year's theme is Midwest Muggle Fest. Okay. So we are inviting our fans to connect with their inner witch or wizard, and so it's somewhat Harry Potter themed, and they can come in and they'll be sorted into houses, and there's games and activities where they will be competing for points on behalf of their house. And then at the end of the night, we'll tally up all the points and, you know, award the highest scoring house. So it's the fun gets to continue there a little bit on a little more social setting.
Well, and you've got Harry Potter guests too, right?
Yeah, we're bringing in Chris Rankin, who the fans will know from the movie as Percy Weasley.
Okay.
And he pretty much, you know, was featured in several of the films, starting with film one all the way through the last one, Deathly Hallows Part Two.
So you never know. He might crash the Geek Prom. You never know who's going to show up with those. I remember a couple years ago when you did the Back to the Future theme for the anniversary, the Enchantment Under the Sea dance, and you had the cast, some of the cast members from Back to the Future there. So that was very cool, too. So, again, the website. Give it to our listeners so they can make sure they can get tickets and make sure they don't miss out on any of this event.
Yeah, so any of our information that we have, our list of guests, our list of vendors and exhibitors that are going to be there, our plans for activities such as the costume contest, the gaming room, all that kind of stuff can be found at CincinnatiComicExpo.com. Also from there, they can download our show app, which our show app will also have any new updates or any news that's going on. Anybody has to depart early, any changing in schedule. We encourage people to download the app. They'll get all of that sent to them. If they're looking for any other questions or any way to get in contact with us or FAQs, that's all available on the website as well, CincinnatiComicExpo.com.
And I've heard you're going to have some crazy cool Q&A panels, right?
Every year, we're out there to entertain the fans, have fun with the guests. So, Q&A panels is...
I think you're going to be putting me to work again this year, aren't you? I don't think I'm going to get off easy this year.
Whatever your schedule allows, you know, whatever your schedule allows. But yeah, that's what we're looking forward to.
Yeah, Comic Book Central is definitely going to be there. I'm going to be bringing the cues. Hopefully they'll have some A's, and hopefully the attendees will have some cues for the celebs as well. So that's going to be fun. Looking forward to that. The full schedule is going to be out there. I'll be announcing this as well on social media as we go through. Matt, I'm telling you what, as always, looking forward to bringing Comic Book Central to the Cincinnati Comic Expo. Bigger and better every year, I say it, and it is true, man. Thank you for making Comic Book Central a part of the fun, and thank you for joining me on the show today.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Joe.
All right, I mentioned during that chat that I was planning to repost some past episodes of Comic Book Central on social media that feature upcoming Cincinnati Comic Expo guests. I did just that. Facebook.com/Comic Book Central Network. Twitter @ComicBookCTRL. Here are the four that I posted. Summer Glau, Sam Jones, Michael Bell, and Katrina Law. Those conversations are out there. I posted them all in a row over the past week. So you can find them. Also, if you don't go there, you can find them in the archive at my website, comicbookcentral.net, and blogtalkradio.com/Comic Book Central. So a lot of different ways you can catch the show. And catch those classic conversations of Comic Book Central. Those guests are going to be at the Cincinnati Comic Expo as well. I'm going to be at the expo this weekend starting Friday. I'll be there enjoying the show, buying some merch. I'm going to be chatting with some folks. Then on Saturday, I am scheduled to moderate 3 Q&As with Katrina Law, Carrie Elwes, and LeVar Burton. Now, the Q&A with Katrina, that was originally scheduled for Friday night. That's now been moved to Saturday. So all three are going to be taking place on Saturday. So that's where you can catch me doing my thing, asking my questions, getting some answers. Some of those times on Saturday are shifting as we speak. There's nothing locked in on the website as of this recording, but as I'm recording this, I will be moderating those three Q&As Saturday the 15th. So you don't want to miss out on any of those if you're going to be at the show. If you can't make it to the Cincinnati Comic Expo, don't worry. I'm going to be bringing you the audio right here on the show in the weeks ahead so you can catch it there. Also appearing Saturday, and he will be there Saturday only, so I'll be there Friday and Saturday, but also appearing Saturday, my special guest today. Let's get a little bit of background on him, and then you will hear from the man behind those S.H.I.E.L.D. shades, the owner of Lola the Flying Car, the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. in more ways than one, Clark Gregg. Clark was born in Boston, Massachusetts, but his family didn't stay there long. He lived in numerous cities by the time he was a teenager. He attended school in North Carolina, some college in Ohio. Then he moved to New York, where he studied drama and English at NYU and co-founded the Atlantic Theater Company. Early acting gigs for Clark included brief roles in television series like Law & Order and the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, and feature films The Usual Suspects and Clear and Present Danger with Harrison Ford. A talented writer, Clark also penned the script for Ford's 2000 thriller, What Lies Beneath. Numerous television appearances followed, most notably five seasons on the hit comedy The New Adventures of Old Christine with Seinfeld's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. 2008, Clark landed a role in what would become the origin of the Marvel Studios movie universe, Iron Man.
Give me a scotch, I'm starving.
Mr. Stark?
Yeah?
Agent Coulson.
Oh, yeah, the guy from the,
Strategic Homeland Intervention and Force Mental Logistics Division.
God, you need a new name for that.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
Now, Clark, as Phil Coulson, agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., went on to appear in Iron Man 2, Thor, and The Avengers, where his journey seemed to end at the hand of Asgardian supervillain Loki. But you can't keep a good S.H.I.E.L.D. agent down. And when Marvel was looking to take the live-action comic book universe to television, Agent Coulson was brought back to life, and Clark got the call to head up Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC. Five fun-filled, action-packed seasons later, Coulson's journey once again seemed to come to an end in last season's finale, with a huge cast goodbye scene and Coulson dying. Here's a long story if you haven't seen it, but he was dying, he was living out his last days with his one true love, Agent Melinda May, played by the lovely and talented Ming-Na Wen. But not so fast. ABC did renew S.H.I.E.L.D. for a sixth season starting in 2019. The cast is coming back, but will Coulson be joining them? All right, joining me on the show today is a talented actor, writer, and director who has been the heart and soul of the Marvel movie and TV universe for the past decade. He will soon return to Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the season premiere as director, albeit behind the camera. Will he return as the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. in front of the camera? Let's find out from Clark Gregg. Clark, welcome to Comic Book Central.
Thank you so much.
Are you going to tell us if you're going to be in front of the camera? Let's cut to the chase. Are we allowed to know that yet?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm in some discussions about what way that they could bring me back, the feeling is that Coulson is dead.
No, he's died before. He's died like a bunch. He can't be any deader than you were in Avengers, right?
It's possible I am.
You look so happy in the season five finale. You were like, you and May were like hanging out in Tahiti.
Hey, anybody who gets to go to Tahiti with Ming-Na Wen looks that happy.
Yeah, right. So like, we need more of that, right?
I certainly think so, but, you know, these things happen above my head.
All right, above your pay grade. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, all right. So let's go back a little bit, and then we'll work our way up. Born in Boston, but your family moved around a lot when you were a kid, right?
It's true. Yeah, my dad was in grad school and then became a professor, so I lived in about six or seven cities the time I graduated from high school.
And college, not too far from where I'm at. I'm in Columbus, Ohio. You went to college not too far from here, right?
For part of it, I went to school at Ohio Wesleyan, had a wonderful time, played some soccer, started acting a little bit there and decided to take off and go to New York. So I ended up transferring to first just dropping out and moving to New York. And then and eventually I went back and transferred to NYU, and I spent the rest of my college time there.
Okay, so when you say started acting there, like what was it about the acting bug that bit you there? Or like had that already kind of been a thing in the back of your brain?
Yeah, no, I had kind of jokingly done a couple of things in high school. There was a not ready for primetime players during the talent show where we would write and perform satirical skits poking fun at people involved with the school, and I really liked that, and I did a play, but I was really serious about soccer, or so I thought. And Ohio Wesleyan had a terrific team, continues to have a terrific team, and so I went there for that. And but I was a goalie, and maybe too short to really make it, but I also dislocated my thumb and couldn't play. And so I was walking by the theater there and saw that they were having auditions for Much Ado About Nothing. And I saw some splendidly attractive people walking in there. And I thought, I think maybe I want to try this again. I like this. They gave me a great part in Much Ado About Nothing. The great part, really. Although maybe you could argue Beatrice is better. and I started, I don't know, it's just from then on, I feel like I took it a little bit more seriously.
Okay, because you had gotten into screenwriting at one point. So was the thinking acting, directing, screenwriting? Like what initially did you think, like, okay, this, I can do this?
No, I mean, I was just a confused, creative kid in the 80s trying to figure out what the hell I wanted to be and do in life. And I moved to New York as much to go listen to the music I was listening to and playing some in Ohio, you know, in New York, and eventually decided to start trying to act. And so I was just trying to be an actor and learn about acting at NYU. And I was lucky enough that I got into this incredible class taught by David Mamet and William H. Macy, who were both young and fiery and irreverent. And a bunch of us formed a theater company out of that. And in that theater company, the ethos was you do a little bit of everything. You direct, you try to write sometimes, you act, you build the sets. And that really stuck with me.
This was the Atlantic Theater Company?
Yeah.
Still around, right?
Which is, they won the Tony for Best Musical last year.
Nice. Congratulations for that. Are we going to be seeing you treading the boards here again?
I hope so. I've actually been talking to Neil, my dear friend who runs the place, about a play that would happen in February. And it'll all depend on whether or not they decide to bring Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back for a seventh season, whether or not I get to do that. But yes, absolutely.
Okay, because you guys are knocking out season 6 right now, 13-episode season. So that should be wrapped by then, I would think, right?
Yes.
Okay. So moving. Yeah. Well, and we'll talk about the possibility of the future of S.H.I.E.L.D. As we get in. But before we get to the superhero stuff, I have to ask you about an early genre project. As someone who contributes to an Indiana Jones podcast, I want to ask you about your brief time in the world of Indiana Jones. 1993, The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, directed by the great Joe Johnston, correct? Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about working on the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles? And did you meet George Lucas? What was it like working with Sean Patrick Flannery?
I remember that I was in L.A. I spent the first 8 or 9 years after college just doing plays in New York, mostly with Atlantic, but with other companies. And then I started to kind of follow friends of mine out to L.A. in hopes of, starting to work in TV and film some. And I was there starving and getting no work. And I got a call saying, this guy, Joe Johnston, who directed The Rocketeer, he remembers you from that. He wants you to come play this part. You go to North Carolina tomorrow. And I was like, wonderful. And I went down there and did a couple days and actually did meet George Lucas. I think I ended up going to like a Wings joint with George Lucas, I thought, which was amazing to me because I was a huge Star Wars fan. I almost couldn't speak. Had a nice time with it. But it was just, I don't know, it was a series, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to play a lab assistant to Thomas Edison.
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of wings did George prefer?
I don't. It's, you know what? We're going back a little.
You could have just made something up there. You could have just made up.
Oh, yeah, hot wings. I don't know.
There you go. No, that was cool because you get to, like, wield an axe. You know, it's like, look, long before Mac took your arm off with an axe, you're, like, going after a guy working with German spies with an axe. I thought that was pretty cool. No, it's a fun episode to watch. It's nice, too. And look, you got to write a movie that starred Indiana Jones at some point, too, What Lies Beneath. So
It all comes full circle.
It all comes full circle. And Coulson in the animated version dressed up like Indiana Jones. So it's all somehow related to Indiana Jones, your life. Okay, let's talk about superheroes. Iron Man, 2008. Boy, okay, so happy 10th anniversary for Agent Phil
Thank
Coulson.
You.
This was amazing. Okay, so this, we know the Marvel movie universe, the juggernaut that it is today, but back in the day, like Iron Man, this was such a roll of the dice. When did you first find out about this project that was going on? Was a neighbor of yours involved in this?
Yes. So I was aware of the project because I did have several Iron Man comics. I was a fan. And nice. I knew that Jon Favreau lived down the street, and I knew a little bit that I knew he was putting together this incredible cast and making this comic that I always liked, but it certainly wasn't up in the pantheon with kind of Batman and Superman and Spider-Man. Only comic book people really knew who Iron Man was and Tony Stark. So it seemed risky, and then he'd managed to hire Robert Downey, who all of us actors were dying to see work, but, you know, who'd been kind of considered a little bit unhirable by the studios at that point. And John fought for him and got him the job. And it just was very exciting. It was an exciting, I couldn't wait to see the movie. And then I got a call saying, I think I was doing a sitcom, Old Christine, at that point. Mm-hmm. And I got a call saying that there was a little part of this agent. And I took the job.
It wasn't even named, right? It was just agent?
It might have just been agent. Yeah. I don't think it was Agent Coulson. At least I don't think so. It was the first version I saw of it. There was almost nothing there. And I was really nervous because I was afraid I was going to get cut out and feel embarrassed because there was such a great cast. And like, guy has three lines. I'm going to tell everyone I'm in this. And then they're going to be like, hey, where were you? I didn't see you. And that happened to me before. But my wife was wisely like, you love this stuff. You got to do it.
So you were a comic book fan? You were a comic book nerd?
I mean, not like the people that I now know.
Yeah. Hardcore,
but I had definitely... When my mom sent me my notebooks from high school, far too many of them were filled with Iron Fist and nice. Warlock drawings of my own.
Okay, so could we'll get into this. I want to ask you about this because I'm dying to ask you about this, but let's jump a little bit ahead since you just brought it up. Could Coulson appear on Iron Fist?
You know, in my world, he can appear everywhere.
Yeah, but in Kevin Feige and Jeff Loeb's world, could that happen?
That's the question you'd have to ask them.
I've expressed
my willingness to show up any and everywhere.
So is Chloe Bennett.
I'm a huge fan of the Netflix shows.
Okay.
And, you know, I would love it.
Do you know the answer to that question, though?
I know that there's corporate issues.
Because I've asked a lot of S.H.I.E.L.D. people about this. I've asked Jeffrey Bell about this. And it's like, in the beginning, I think you were even quoted in an interview in 2013. And you're like, they're all connected. Everything's connected. It's all the same. And then all of a sudden, I think there was like some political stuff or some, you know, some like Disney/Marvel kind of stuff. I know that you can't comment on that like sort of separated them for a while. And I think that sort of rubbed some
well,
of the
I think
actors
when the movie,
way.
When the TV show started, Marvel was one entity.
Yes.
And then at a certain point, Marvel Studios, the film division, became separate. It became two separate companies. Marvel Cinematic and Marvel Television are two separate entities under the same corporate banner. And then within that, you have Marvel TV shows on Fox. Isn't The Gifted on Fox? Mm-hmm. And Netflix and ABC.
Right.
And I'm not sure what, I don't even know, is Cloak and Dagger on Hulu?
Cloak and Dagger.
I don't know.
But it's one of the streaming. I'm drawing a blank. It might be Hulu.
Yeah. So it's on one of, you know, they're all yeah. over.
No, we get that, but it's like, you know, Sam Jackson pops up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, Jamie Alexander pops up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. There's all these references. They're using clips from Captain America, Winter Soldier.
For me, it's all the same story. There's never been anything that I've seen that you go, oh, wait, this contradicts something else.
Right.
In the other world, I don't see two separate things. I know that there's a lot of very careful discussions between Jed Whedon and Marissa Tancheron Whedon and Jeff Bell and Jeff Loeb with the Marvel proper cinematic people about, look, here's what we're trying to, here's what we're thinking of exploring this year. Can we do this? Do you have plans for this? And, you know, they have to negotiate out which stuff is which.
Does it seem like they're kind of merging
back? Can't have purple Skrulls on our show and green Skrulls in Captain Marvel.
That's true. Does it seem like they're merging back a little bit more again? Because I know there was like hashtag it's all connected, you know, years ago. Does it seem like it's moving more toward that again? Is that fair to say?
I don't know.
Okay.
Honestly,
I could make something up, but I really don't know.
It's
fair enough.
I know that it's a, you know, it's just something that the fans, and I include myself, and the fans are passionate about. And I understand why. I'm passionate about that too, because one of the things I love about Marvel period and Marvel Cinematic is that it's, in a way, you're looking at one giant, you know, increasingly vast number of hours of story.
Yeah.
In a universe that has different parts of the universe, and whether you go see Ant-Man and Wasp or Black Panther or Guardians, you're seeing something, you're seeing a different chapter in the same giant epic. And I don't see, you know, I don't see anything in New York, in the Daredevil Luke Cage world, that is anything but a different part of that same universe. And I think of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the same way. I know that at one point they revealed that that Chloe's character had come from the same orphanage as Matt Murdock. So, but I don't know. I don't know. It's a really, it's, I certainly hope, I hope that's where it all ends up.
Okay. No, that's good to know too, because it seems like that's where it's headed back again. I know there was like some crazy different political things that went on, but it's nice to know that that might be where it ends up. There's an interesting quote from you in a 2013 interview. You talked about your theater work and some of the greats you had worked with. You'd said, I worked with Mamet, Macy, and Aaron Sorkin. You said, referring to coming into this Marvel universe, I thought this would be different, that it would be slumming in a pop culture world. Okay, so when did you have that turn? Like, how did you approach that as an actor? How did you get over that challenge?
Well, the rest of that quote is, but it wasn't.
But it wasn't, yes. Right, so you go into this, like, how, what got you over that? Like, when did you look at this and go, oh, this is different. This is something much different.
I don't know, that quote, taken out of context, makes it sound like I was looking down at it, but it was... And to me, in the larger context of that interview, the point was it was the stuff that I'd grown up with and loved, but I didn't quite understand how Shakespearean and classical.
And in all fairness, it hadn't been up to that point. There was a lot of cheese.
In the stuff I grew up with, it was look, Superman, which I adored, was very different. Mm-hmm. Even the Batman movies, very, very different than what has been done in the Marvel Cinematic, the stakes, the way you care about the characters, you know, the quality of acting and writing that they get. It just was different. And never mind the VFX and the costumes, you know, like none of it was everything, the technology and the desire to make those stories showed up at exactly the right moment. And frankly, if you look at the, even though I watched Iron Man, the first one recently, it really holds up wonderfully. But the technology has evolved so much already. I mean, the technology between season one of our show and what Mark Kolpak and his team are doing this year and last year is just incomparable.
I think S.H.I.E.L.D. has just, I think even season five was the strongest yet. It just keeps getting better. When did you get a sense that Agent Coulson was going to be the thread that tied Marvel Phase 1 together?
Never.
To this day, man.
I think Tony Stark, it's funny. Tony Stark, to me, is the thread that holds it all together. And in Robert's incredible performance, he's the glue. There is a kind, hilarious trope that Agent Coulson was another form of the glue, because he would kind of go around and he was the one who would meet people and bring them in, Thor, almost like the recruiter. And they were kind enough to say, oh, yeah, you're in Thor. You're in Thor, too. Did no one tell you? You're in Thor. I was like, oh, my God, this is incredible. And suddenly it's 10 years later. And certainly when they were killing me during the Avengers, I was like, hey, I'm the glue. What are you doing? Didn't persuade anybody. But I think it also speaks to the reason I'm lucky enough to get to play this guy and have so many amazing adventures at it is in the superhero world. What I think Marvel discovered and responded to very nimbly is that if it's just all superheroes and supervillains, it's really harder to connect with for people who may not be blessed with those same powers or be a billionaire philanthropist, playboy. So there was a way where Coulson and I think Happy and I think Pepper and a number of characters became the avatar of the audience, the people who were behaving heroically in a world where they were surrounded by these powered individuals and they themselves, their only superpower was heart, commitment, cleverness.
Were the Marvel one-shots, was that sort of the bridge that brought you into S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I mean, in Iron Man 1, they had him, saying Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement Logistics Division. And I was like, dude, am I S.H.I.E.L.D.? And they were like, yeah, you're S.H.I.E.L.D. I was like, oh, my God. And they said, P.S., the tag is going to be Nick Fury. And I was like, oh, my God, this is the coolest thing ever.
You knew what all that meant, right?
I knew. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I knew some of it, but I had to have go, you know what? I was a big fan of this stuff, but I got to say, when I was about 19, other stuff took over. So you got to catch me up a little bit. And I got some incredible boxes full of comics and stuff to catch up on.
Okay, but there's no Coulson in them. Like you don't have anything to base it on. So how did you approach that as an actor? Because was that easier or more difficult that you didn't have all that history to have to look at?
I would say it's probably was easier. I mean, there definitely was some stuff right when the first Iron Man came out where I happened to see on baby Twitter, like people going, who is this guy? He's not in the comics. It could have been Sitwell. It could have been that. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get killed off. I'm going to get killed off. The comic book fans don't like this new character. But pretty quickly, Agent Coulson started appearing in the comics.
Yeah.
They put him into the comics. And I got to say, some of the comic book writers have done such amazing stuff. So many of them have taken Coulson and really written cool stuff for him to do. And I've gotten to partner up with all the people I'm not allowed to partner up with, like Deadpool and kinds of. Well, in the comics, there's no barriers, apparently.
Yeah.
And it's been really fun.
You have a black belt?
In jiu-jitsu?
Yeah.
I do.
Okay, so that what we see in Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Thor's Hammer, is that are you bringing some of that into there? Because that seemed to be like almost where Coulson crossed the line, didn't it? Into like, whoa, where'd this guy come from?
I don't know why they decided to do those, but they did them. Did they do them before we did Thor?
This was, let's see.
We shot them after Thor, if I have to think about it. I'm pretty sure. I feel like we shot them after Thor.
I think
Thor.
They were right after Thor, because I think they were on the Blu-ray, but it was only, but it was pre-S.H.I.E.L.D., and it was like the one shot, I think Area 40, or Item 47, I think that's what the ABC president had seen that and with like greenlit S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, the other one-shot. Well, Marvel had done a bunch of one-shots. Yeah. I think the funny thing happened was the first one, maybe, and those two that they did, there was the other one, two parts of that. But I think, my suspicion was that they did it because they knew they were going to use him more in the Avengers, and they wanted to build up the audience's connection with him. Hmm. So they would care when that bad stuff happened.
Was that you doing the jump and the kick and the...
Yeah, but that's jiu-jitsu is a different kind of fighting. That okay. was some wonderful stunt people showing me what to do.
Yeah, okay. So that leads me into then directing S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, we know the amazing work you've done as Agent Coulson on S.H.I.E.L.D., but directing S.H.I.E.L.D. last season, again, I think season 5 is probably the strongest season yet. What brought you?
Oh, good. Thank you.
What brought on the desire to direct an episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because you've directed independent features, and you directed. Not even independent, like studio features too, correct?
No, just
straight up independent features. Okay.
Yeah, and I'd written a studio feature, What Lies Beneath.
Yes.
And I'd worked as a screenwriter for a while. They very generously mentioned it to me, kind of every season. Do you want to do this? And I'd always been like, God, no, I don't think so. I don't think I could handle it on top of all the other stuff I do. Seems terrifying.
Yeah, because you're number one on the call sheet.
Yeah. And it just felt, I don't know, you kind of, you have one role on the team, you know, it's odd to shift. I felt like it might be weird. And I don't know, I just was probably nervous about it. But then they said, look, there's an episode coming up this season, season 5, that you're going to be light in. And we think it's a good, and you're very light in the one before it. So you would have time to prep because it's prepping for an episode, shooting for another one. And then the editing takes place in the next third one. So it's really like, you know. It's ongoing. It's for a couple of episodes. And they said, you know, what do you think? And I said, you know what? Yeah, let me try it. Because I was writing something that might be for TV. And I thought I should know what this is involved in. I know that what they do there is incredibly facile in terms of they make it very easy for people who haven't done a lot of big wire fights and crazy stunt stuff as a director and VFX work. They have a system where it felt to me like you could pick it up pretty fast. And I had no idea that my crew was going to be so incredibly kind of nurturing and show up, and the actors wouldn't tease me too much, and they would even do what I said. And it ended up being really, really fun. So I asked if I could do another one, and they said, how'd you like to do the premiere episode? It's rather large. And I was like, yeah, let's do it.
And of course, your character's dead, so yeah, you have plenty of time to do it, right?
Didn't have to do any. The acting days when you're directing,
yeah,
are tough. So I was really happy to not have those.
How would actor Clark Gregg describe director Clark Gregg?
I would say that he brings a lot of energy. Most of it's positive, and he gets a little obsessed with. the way the directions people are facing in shots. Really? He has very specific shot composition that can be a little annoying for us, the actors, to deal with.
Have you been told that?
No, it's what I would say to me.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if that was playing into
the nicest person on the planet is Elizabeth Henstridge. Yeah. And I definitely was doing it to her. And I could see oh, wow. I may have actually pissed off Elizabeth Henstridge. That alone would be my superpower.
Was it a look she made? Like, she didn't say anything to you, but was it a look that she made? Like, should shoot over here or something?
She just was, I was like, can you look this way when you say that? Which was, in her defense, made no sense whatsoever. But you're moving so fast that you're not sure you're ever going to get the other side sometimes where I would see her face. And I wanted to make sure that when I got in the editing room, I had a version where I could see some trace of her reaction to the line.
Okay.
Doesn't defend what I made her do. And she just had this look of a little bit of perturbation, which for Elizabeth is like, you know, if anyone else is screaming and throwing something at you.
Yeah, for her, that would be huge. Oh, well, that's a huge difference between directing episodic television and directing a feature film, right?
Yes, most features. Even from a time perspective. We have 9 days, 8 or 9 days to shoot an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And both features I've shot were 20 or 25. So you have twice as much time to shoot a third more screen time, and 40 minutes, I don't know, twice as much, really. So it's similar in that, but there's so much more we're doing. On the other hand, there's so much more we're doing in terms of the size and scope on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's not a new crew that just came together for a couple of months to make something. This is a well-oiled machine.
Each season of S.H.I.E.L.D. is so much different than the one before. Do you have a favorite? I won't ask you a favorite episode because that's like probably like picking your kids. But do you have a favorite season of S.H.I.E.L.D. and why?
I really loved last year. It was very moving and emotional, especially the finale where, you know, we were thinking maybe that was it for us, and that it was the final episode was called The End. It looked like Coulson was going to be dying, and everyone was saying goodbye to each other. It was very, very moving. But I guess not in terms of quality, just in terms of season four was really fun because they had done this thing where they switched everything up and pulled the rug out from under us ever since the reveal of Hydra. But to have three distinct seasons, Ghost Rider, LMDs, and The Framework in one season really gave us a lot of fun things to do, different things.
Going into season six with a 13-episode season, because the Netflix shows 10 episodes seems really tight. Going into this last season, how do you think that's going to change the storytelling? You think it'll be better?
I do. I think the 22 is too many episodes to do. And I think, you know, they've pulled it off magnificently by breaking it up into kind of three separate pods, they call them. But I think that 13 is just a more manageable number, and it's what we're competing against is people who are focusing their story into that amount of time and putting all their resources into that. I think it lends itself to a higher level of quality. That's what I'm hoping.
Okay, so we know we may or may not see you as Coulson in front of the camera for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but we know we're going to see you in Captain Marvel next year. Can you talk about being de-aged 25 years? And just not for a scene like Michael Douglas. I mean, this is the whole movie, right?
Yes. The entire movie takes place in the 90s.
Yeah, and did it so freak
every day
you out?
I would have to go in like 4 hours early and get put machine that Marvel has that just makes you look amazing.
It's a de-aging machine?
Yeah, the de-aging machine.
They created
Kurt Russell's still in there. You have to get him out every morning because he doesn't want to. No, it's, you know, I have a lot more hair than I usually have in the movie, and the rest of it I have never seen because it was just black dots on my face, dots on Sam's face, and a team of the brilliant technicians at Marvel are putting, you know, peeling the years away as we speak. And I saw the photo of Sam. He looked amazing.
It's unbelievable.
That they released last week.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. No eye patch. It's this thing is going to be mind blowing. The significance of being the first Marvel feature with a female lead, and can you talk about working with Brie Larson because she looks amazing in this?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of hers. We did a movie when she was like a kid, 15, called Hoot, and I always liked her then. I've loved her work. I thought Room was incredible, and I have a daughter, so I'm very eager to be in the movie where we get the first female Marvel superhero. And I know Carol Danvers and Captain Marvel, and I knew not just the first, but one of the most powerful in the whole Marvel universe. So it's going to be cool.
Are we going to find out some missing puzzle pieces for Coulson?
Yeah, there's a little this. It's funny. I was, you know, it's really there. It's her movie, and it's really Coulson's very much a secondary character, but they really put some kind of, to me, very moving kind of origin story moments for Coulson and Fury. It's cool.
What's the best part about being Phil Coulson?
The fan connection, as I said. The fans, they feel like they created him, and they're right. And they feel like they brought him back to life, and they're right. And when I see them everywhere I go, they really universally are very welcoming.
One of those places we know you're going to be, it's going to be Cincinnati, Ohio this weekend at the Cincinnati Comic Expo. Man, that's going to be amazing. And I saw you wearing a Chewbacca t-shirt that Ming-Na Wen tweeted out while you were directing. You know Chewbacca's going to be there, right?
Yes, I've spoken to Chewie, and he's told me that he's going to be there. So I'm excited. We go out late.
You and Chewie out, like, hanging out?
Yeah. There's no better wingman.
Of course not. Well, of course. Clark, looking forward to meeting you in person this weekend. Safe travels. We'll see you in Cincinnati this weekend. And thank you for joining me on Comic Book Central.
Thank you so much.
Will Clark wear his Chewbacca t-shirt when he meets Chewie himself, Peter Mayhew, at the Cincinnati Comic Expo? Will he appear in front of the camera again on S.H.I.E.L.D.? Will Marvel ever market their de-aging machine? That would be cool if they could do that. Look, we know we're going to get the answer to at least one of those questions this weekend at the Cincinnati Comic Expo. Clark will be touching down in the Queen City. Probably not in a S.H.I.E.L.D. Quinjet, but you never know. He's definitely going to be touching down on something. Look, if you're listening to this episode after the Cincinnati Comic Expo, I'm sure Clark's going to be coming to a convention near you soon. At Clark Gregg on Twitter, that is where you can follow him and keep up on all things S.H.I.E.L.D. and Captain Marvel, everything else he's got going on. I'm going to put the link to his Twitter feed in the show notes for this episode at my website, comicbookcentral.net. Also in the show notes at blogtalkradio.com/comicbookcentral. I'm also going to put the link to the Cincinnati Comic Expo website there. That's where you can get tickets to meet Clark and all the cool guests at the show. And you can say hi to me while you're there, too, if you see me. My thanks to Clark Gregg for joining me today to celebrate 10 years of Agent Phil Coulson and the Marvel movie universe. That was fun. And my thanks to Matt Bredesteggy, too, for the behind-the-scenes look at the expo. Man, we're going to have some fun this weekend. All right, kids, that's it for today. Time for me to get ready for the Cincinnati Comic Expo. Lots to prepare for, man. I got 3 Q&As. I got lots of questions to ask people. I hope to see some of you folks there. That would be cool. Come up and say hi. As always, I love meeting the listeners. As always, stay tuned to Comic Book Central. I'm going to be bringing you as much of that weekend as I can. The next regularly scheduled episode of Comic Book Central, it's going to be Saturday, September 22nd. And I have got something special planned for you folks. Oh man, this is going to be a good one. As many of you know, I am a huge fan of Mego Toys. That is the greatest toy line of all time. Back in the 70s, Mego let kids bring comic books to life by producing incredible action figures and vehicles and playsets from all the Marvel characters, all the DC characters. They produced Star Trek toys, Planet of the Apes toys, tons of TV show toys, so much more. Mego went out of business in the 80s, but somehow, some way, Mego is back there filling the toy shelves at Target stores across the country with more superheroes, more Star Trek, and some surprisingly strange additions to the lineup as well. On the next episode of Comic Book Central, I am sitting down for a Mego meeting of the minds with, check out this lineup, Dr. Mego, Paul Clark, the curator of the Mego Museum, Brian Heiler, and the man who brought us the world's greatest toys back in the 70s, and he brought them back for us today. The man from Mego, Marty Abrams. They're all 3 going to be here. It is a retro roundtable, and it is coming at you September 22nd. If you're a Mego fan, you definitely don't want to miss this one. Until then, keep an eye out for Hydra agents. Keep reading those comics, and thanks for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central. All other content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
No! Coulson! Coulson! No!
Oh, God!
You are the greatest man I ever knew! You will be avenged! You will be avenged! I will get the Avengers, and you will be avenged, Coulson!